Today on The Journey.
The story of we begins with God, and He hardwired the story of we in us, and He did that by creating us in His image. God said, "Let us make man in our image."
We were made for community. That truth is found in eternity past, and it continues in your life today. So how do you do community as God originally intended? Well, that's Ron Moore's topic in this half hour. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written. And this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, The Story of We, on The Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 1 as we continue our series. We've titled Unselfie, We, Not Me. And today we're going to consider the original story of we. Our purpose of this series is to get over ourselves in order to live beyond ourselves. Now, I want to make sure we understand what we're talking about when we use the word we. First, we are talking about our relationship with God. That's where it has to start. He makes the rules. He puts forth the guidelines. Our relationship with Him has to be settled, and our relationship with Him has to be growing deeper. We call that in theology sanctification, becoming more and more like God as He grows us and challenges us. That's where it has to start. After it starts with God, the other we is others. And here we just want richer relationships. But here's the deal. Our we with others is always dependent upon our we with God. It is our relationship with God and our growing in Him that really defines who we are and allows us to really function well in the we of others. All right, so we want to look at the first chapter of Genesis. It's the last day of creation. God has made everything else, and now life comes on day six, and the crowning creation is man. And so we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now we have to stop right there because something different has taken place. It's the first time we hear God talking and He uses this plural pronoun. That's kind of odd, isn't it? What I believe, and what many commentators through history believe, the church fathers held to this, Calvin held to this, a more contemporary commentator, Wayne Grudem, holds to this, that this is the first instance, at least a hint of, the Trinity. Now, we don't know how many, just plural. And certainly it is not the complete doctrine of the Trinity. But here is our first statement, that there is a plurality of persons in the Godhead. And as we look at the rest of Scripture, we come to realize that that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Six things about the Trinity. Number one, there is one God. Number two, one God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Number three, each person of the Godhead is eternal. Jesus just didn't come to be in a Bethlehem manger. He always was. There's never been a time when Jesus wasn't. God the Son has always existed. So the Holy Spirit has existed. It wasn't like God said, Jesus is going to ascend to heaven, so what am I going to do now? Oh, I know. I'll create a spirit to go live within people and empower them. The Holy Spirit was always there. So three, God is eternal. Number four, each person is distinct. God the Father is distinct from God the Son. God the Son is distinct from God the Spirit. The Son and Spirit are distinct from each other. Each one is distinct. And five, Each person has different functions. So let's think about two big areas here, creation and then salvation. First in creation, God the Father spoke the creative word, and God said. God the Son, the eternal word, carried out the creative decree. And God the Holy Spirit, we read in Genesis 1:2, is there hovering, demonstrating the presence of God over all creation. So let's think about that. Again, Jesus is not this little baby in a manger. We see him in Genesis chapter 1. He is the agent of creation. How do we know that? One verse we could go to is Colossians chapter 1:16. For by him all things were created. Jesus, God the Son, is the agent of creation. Heaven, earth, visible and invisible, with thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. That's creation. What about salvation? Redemption. So in redemption, God the Father plans redemption after Genesis chapter 3, separation because of our sin. And God the Father loved us so much that he has a plan now to send his Son. God the Son, Jesus, God in the flesh, pays the penalty for sin. He dies on the cross for our sins. God the Father did not die on the cross. God the Holy Spirit did not die on the cross. Jesus, God the Son, died on the cross. And then after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us today, lives within us, and empowers us to live a life that pleases God. So we have distinct functions of the Godhead. So one God, three persons, distinct, different functions, eternal, and then we just have to conclude, this is a mystery. We're not going to fully understand it. We're not going to fully understand this one God in three persons. I mean, there's nothing like the Trinity. A beautiful picture of the Trinity is seen in Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. When you're reading Scripture, by the way, just slow down and think about what would it have been like to be there? So in Matthew 3, you have Jesus. He goes to meet John the Baptist, and he's baptized. God the Son is standing there soaking wet. The Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove and lights on his shoulder. And then when that's happening, this booming voice from heaven that the writers would have heard said, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." You got God the Son, you got the Holy Spirit lighting on him like a dove, and then you have this voice from heaven, this beautiful picture of the Trinity. Now, why am I saying all this? Because the story of we begins with God. In the person of God, we first see the we, the community, equal yet different, same yet distinct. And this community, this desire for community, this need for community is hardwired into us since we are made in the image of God. How do we know that God hardwired community in us? Well, you got to flip over a chapter, chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord looks at the man and there's no we. So what's he say? It's not good that the man should be alone. God said that because God created man in his image. Story of we begins with him. And he says, here's my creation, but there's no we. Not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And every woman says, oh, great, I'm just a helper. That's not what the word means. That word is an amazing word. Think about this. The word helper is a word normally used to describe God himself. Throughout the Psalms, God is my helper. I will not fear. God is my helper. I'll never be put to shame. Helper is one who completes what is lacking. Helper is one who supplies strength in the area of weakness. You see, man by himself, God said, that's not good. I'm bringing someone else in to complete him. Man was made for community. And certainly it starts in the family, the basic unit of human community, but it doesn't end there. God says in the Old Testament, I want the story of we to continue in this nation of Israel. And in the New Testament, it's not only the family, but what else? It's the church. It's us. The Christian life, the life that God intended, is always about community. Man was made for that. Think about the commands of Scripture. You cannot apply most Scripture by yourself. You can't love one another by yourself. You can't show hospitality to one another by yourself. You can't serve one another by yourself. You can't honor one another above yourself by yourself. You can't carry one another's burdens if you're not connected. And how can you consider others better than yourself if life is all about you? Isolation, being alone, is always a negative concept in Scripture. Solomon said it this way, two are better than one. They have good reward for the toil. One falls down, the other guy can help him up. Woe to him when he falls down, there's no one there to help him up. And again, if two lie down and they can keep warm, how can one keep warm by himself? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And then it's interesting, isn't it? Solomon's just saying, two, 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 and then three, a threefold cord. Now we're back to God, right? Because it always starts with him. The story of we always starts with God. You can't do the horizontal well if you're not doing the vertical well. When you get this thing right with God, it flows down through the horizontal relationships in our life. So the story of we begins with God, and he hardwired the story of we in us, and he did that by creating us in his image. Look at chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Now, what in the world does that mean? We talk about that all the time, right? We're made in the image of God. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Does it mean that we can become like God and somehow self-actualize the God within us? No. Being made in the image of God means that human beings share imperfectly in God's nature. These are called the communicable attributes of God. These are the ones he gives to us. And we're not talking about just believers here. We'll talk about how that works in a second. But here we're talking about mankind. All are made in the image of God. Begins with life. Scripture says, in him we live and we breathe and we have our being. Life comes from God. He is living, and so he passes that life on to us. He breathes into us the breath of life. He gives us this amazing power to produce life. He doesn't keep making people from the dust. He says to Adam and Eve, now you're it. Think about that. When you have a little baby and you do that reveal party, and they toss that little ball and you hit it and poof, it's blue or pink. Very cool. Man, think about that responsibility. You just brought into this world a living soul that's going to spend eternity in hell or heaven. Boy, that's pretty solemn, isn't it? God gives us that responsibility. Morality, a sense of right and wrong. You'd be hard-pressed to find a culture where murder is accepted. God hardwired them in his image. Justice, a pagan judge can sit on a bench, but that pagan judge upholds a law. In our country, it's based on the Judeo-Christian principles. And he may never have had two thoughts about God, but God hardwired this sense of justice within him. And so a pagan judge can make a just judgment. Wisdom. We have the capacity to learn, and we have the capacity to help others as we apply our learning. We have the capacity to love throughout the world, human beings demonstrate compassion to love someone. They're not believers. They may be way into another religion, but they love their kids. They love someone else in their life. They love their family. Where did it come from? The image of God. Communication. We have the ability to interact with each other, just like God interacts with us. Communication is powerful. Creativity. God's creation is beautiful. And think about it. When God makes mankind in his image, every beautiful painting is a reminder made in the image of God. Every magnificent musical piece is a reminder that we're made in the image of God. Emotions is another one. We have the capacity for passion, and will is the last one I'll give you here. Just like God makes decisions, he gives us the capacity to make decisions. Just let that soak in. We are made in the image, the likeness of God, and he passes these things on to us. Now, why does he do that? Genesis 26. Let's make man in our own image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. By the way, that man is not a male. That's the word Adam. That means mankind, men and women. He created mankind in his image. And then he gets specific, male and female. He created them. So why did God create us and pass on these attributes? Well, two important points here. First of all, we are made in the image of God to represent him here on this earth. You are God's representative in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your community. Tag, you're it. God's purpose was an act of love for sure, but it was also functional. God wanted us to show others what he's like. Again, we do that through his image, but as believers, we're that light on the hill that we shouldn't hide, and we're to live our lives in such a way that people look and say, man, you serve a great God. Made in God's image, we are his ambassadors to speak on his behalf. We are able to love, we're able to feel, we're able to communicate, we are able to represent him and demonstrate to the world what a great God we serve. Secondly, we are made in God's image to continue the story of we. Look at verse 28, and God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This verse is a command for mankind, God's representative, to continue building the story of we. Sometimes this verse is called the creation mandate. One writer, Nancy Piercy, calls it the first job description. Listen to what she says. In Genesis, God gives what we might call the first job description. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. The first phrase, be fruitful and multiply, means to develop the social world. Build families and churches and schools and cities and governments and laws. The second phrase, subdue the earth, means to harness the natural world, plant crops, build bridges, design computers, compose music. You see, when God says have dominion, he's saying you're my representatives. I want you to show the world what I look like, and I want you to continue the story of we and all the things that go along with it. Now, that's in Genesis 1 and 2, and we all know that Genesis 3 comes after Genesis 2. And the essence of Satan and the essence of temptation is always to leave God out of the picture. But this we know, after Genesis 3, our relationship with God is broken, God's image is still there, but we take on the marred image of Adam, an image perverted by the infection of sin. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, the first man, talking about Adam, was from the earth, a man of the dust. The second man, who's he talking about there? God the Son, is from heaven. Now, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. We still have God's image, but now it's marred, and it looks a lot like the image of Adam. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. When we trust in Christ, things start to change. We move into this process of sanctification, moving from the image of Adam, although it's always going to be there, but we're looking more like Jesus, or should be. Just as we have borne the image of the man in dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So now we have been recreated as believers to take on the image that God always intended for us. That's why Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We were marred, but in Jesus, things are changing. The old is gone, the new has come. That means our image that looked more like Adam is changing to look more like Jesus. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And you say, what does that mean? So Paul's going to explain it. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to them the ministry of reconciliation. So we're no longer separated. And God is giving us that ministry of reconciliation. How do we do that? Well, next verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now we're back to being a representative. God making his appeal through us. God is appealing to the world through us. He's saying to the world, that's how you live a life of true freedom and significance and identity. The message of reconciliation, God making his appeal through us. And then Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the process that we're on.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Today we're going to look at this perfect creation where Adam and Eve are in this perfect picture, and then Satan photobombs the picture.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.